Okay, good morning, a good night of Shabbos. Welcome back to the Maharal Shir. We're learning this month in the Kol and outside of the Kol, Li'li Nishmas Nechem Yosef ben Aaron, and for Refuah Shleima, for Esther Tova Bas Devorah. So we continue to learn with those people in mind. And of course, we keep in mind the Hatzlach and the Shmira of our Chayalim and the hostages in Eretz Yisrael. Additionally, the week of learning is dedicated by the Kluger family in memory of Max Kluger, Barry Kluger, and Rabbi Schoenfeld. So we keep those neshamas in mind as well as we continue to learn. So we have two maharals on the page here in front of us from Parshas Shmais, and ideally we'll get to both of them. I don't have a good track record of actually getting to two items in any given week, but if we don't, they are related to each other, so it'll be somewhat easy to segue in from number one to number two on your own. Certainly we will have the tools from the first source to transition to the second source. Whether we get there or not depends on how long I give you this introduction about whether we'll get there or not. So that's definitely enough nafkamina to that to the length of that statement. Okay, source number one. You have the pasuk in Parshas Shmos. The pasuk tells Vayigdal Yelad Vatibieu Lebas Paro. The young child Moshe Rabbeinu, who had been drawn from the water earlier, was now nursed. He was coming back to Bas Paro. Vayihi La Levain, and she was to him a son. Vatikra Shmo Moshe. She called him Moshe. Why? Ki minamayim mishisihu. There are two things. There are many things to deal with in this pasuk. Two things in particular to deal with in terms of the name. One is that Moshe Rabbeinu had more than one name. He had potentially many names, but two that we're most familiar with are either Tov, Kitov, or Tovya, but some form of Tov from the pasuk that when Yecheved gave birth to him, she saw the house had Kitov, and Chazal give us different interpretations. The Gemara in Sotan Daf Yud Beis, whether that means the house filled with light, whether that means that he was Ra'u for Nevuah, whether that means that his name was Tov or Tovya. So he had that name. He also had other names as well, but he had that name, kind of like his birth name. And then apparently Bas Paro gave him another name, Moshe, because of Minamayim Mishisu. So why do we go with the Gaita, who gave him the name, the adoptive parent, over the mother, the Jewish mother, who gave him his original name? That's a good question that Maharal does deal with in the Sefer Gruas Hashem as well. Side point, the Sefer Gruas Hashem is basically the entire Sefer Shmos, not just Parsha Shmos, is discussed in the Sefer Gruas Hashem by the Maharal. That's because Gruas Hashem is largely a discussion, a lengthy discussion, about Galus and Geula from Mitzrayim. So the buildup of the Galus in terms of going to Mitzrayim, the experience within Mitzrayim, and the Geula therefrom are all discussed at length and in depth by the Maharal in the Sefer Gruas Hashem. So everything we're going to quote today is, you know, coming from there initially, but also everything from the stories we're going to read throughout the next bunch of weeks are really finding their source in that Sefer as well. Commentary in the Haggadah is found in there. Everything is really in the Gruas Hashem. So in the Gruas Hashem, the Maharal does discuss why would we choose to go with the name that Bas Paro gave as opposed to the name which Yocheved gave. We're not really talking about that now, but suffice to say that he explains the Torah is a Torah of Chesed, Torah's Chesed al-Lashona. The Torah is one that bespeaks and also represents and also helps manifest kindness. And the ultimate act of Chesed was what Yocheved did to pull Moshe Rabbeinu out of the water and save him and take care of him. So we call him by the name of Chesed because it's a Torah of Chesed. Doesn't mean, I don't know if it means that naturally during his lifetime they called him, they probably called him whatever his last name was. That's what they call my kids in school. They call you by your last name usually, but Moshe was the name that the Torah felt was appropriate to call him. Moving on from that, the separate question the Maharal wants to ask, you have it in source number one, the Gruas Hashem, Perek Yilches. He said, El Yesh Ladaktik Mamesha Amra Ki Minamayim Mishisihu. So she defends, she explains her naming of Moshe Rabbeinu because I pulled him from the water. Minamayim Mishisihu. So the Maharal says, it's true that she pulled him from the water, but it wasn't just any water. She didn't pull him out of a bathtub. She pulled him out of very specific water. She pulled him out of the Yor. Why wasn't his name, I don't know what you would have, how you would have put it together, Minayel or Mayor?
Niles.
Oh, is that a name? Niles? Okay. Huh? Lior, okay, fine. That would be if she threw him into the water, chas v'shalom. So why don't we call him Mior or Minayel or something like that? Why does it sound, has a better ring to it, Taka Nile? So why don't we call him that? Why do we call him Moshe? Min Hamayim Mishisu? Min Hayor Mishisihu? So the Maharal says, V'havi le lomar ki min Hayor Mishisihu. Lohoros me'izim mayim hotziyo oso. The truth is, I guess the point is you could have named him Moshe still. It's named for Mishisihu. But it should have said in the pasuk, the reasoning was min Hayor, not min Hamayim, just general water. So the Maharal says, no, there's something very deep that's being telegraphed over here by the Torah, something that's being insinuated that lies in the depth of the name of Moshe. V'omer ani. Says the Maharal, I say as follows, Kishem Moshe Hu Ra'al Iker Inyan Moshe Ma'alasso. This is not a unique concept, a foreign concept to us. Names generally speak to the mahus, to the essence of an individual. A person is, you know, well represented by his name. We're all familiar with the fact that potentially people do have, you know, some level of Ruach HaKodesh when they come up with names for their children at the time of birth. You hear people's names and you sometimes wonder if that could possibly be true, if it's really a Ruach HaKodesh or, I don't know, a Ruach of I know some other drug that's in the air when they come with these names, but okay, but we're supposed to have some level of intuition that we're keyed in. We understand what the, you know, the tchunas ha-nefesh of this Jewish neshama really is, and the name is supposed to somehow correspond to that. So Ikar Inyan Moshe Malaso is represented by the name, the shame that he is given. That's why we know one of the three things that the Klal Yisrael are, so to speak, rewarded for and saved for is that they didn't change their names. Who cares if they didn't change their names? They didn't go by George and they didn't go by whatever. We won't use people's names in case we're going to get anything wrong here. But, you know, Jonah is from the Bible, so I'm innocent. But they didn't go by their Gaish names. They kept their Jewish names. So that was a zchus that stood for them in order to save them from the gullus eventually. Who cares if they kept their Jewish names? No, because keeping your name means keeping your identity. The same way not changing your language. Language is an identity, which is an important thing to talk about, and not changing a person's clothing is also something which is representative of what a person is and what a person comes from. So the name of Moshe represents Ikar Ma'alaso, the real height, the real level that he was at. What's the real level that he was at? Second line in the bold, Asher hu mesulak umusar min hamayim. He was removed from, he was separated from the water, meaning he had been placed in the water. Technically speaking, the Torah says he was placed on the banks of the river, on the side of the water, but he ended up in the water. Maybe the tide brought him in. He was placed on the banks of the water. He was connected to the water, but he was pulled out of that water. So it's not really that his tchunas ha-nefesh, his character is represented by the fact that he was separated from the Nile, or from the Yaor, but rather from water in general. Because he was in the water and he was pulled out of the water. What does that have to do with anything? So he says, Vizeh, ki amayim, third line, not bold. Vizeh, ki amayim ein lahem tzura, omedes kayemes, ki Moshe yizbar lemayla, etzel kola bena yolode yaor teshlichu ayin sham, ki sham herachne bizeh. Says the Maharal, mayim, water is unique in the following way. And this is true, obviously, to some extent about all liquids, but water, it's the most true. This is true scientifically, chemically as well. Just trust me on that. Water has no form. It has no shape. Again, other liquids also change shapes and spill, but they are, I'll try to get this right, they are higher in viscosity, meaning they are more thick, they are less moving parts over there. I think the word that I was told this week to use for the opposite of viscous is aqueous. So they are less, they are the wine or I don't know, whatever, beer or something like that, it's also going to move around, it's also going to flow, but it's not as flowy, as liquidy as water. Water is more aqueous. Aqueous, I assume, lashon aqua. So so something, is aqueous, does anyone know that word? Is that a word?
Yeah,
okay, there you go. So water is something which just flows endlessly. It wherever you pour it, it's going to fit into the shape over there. It doesn't have any tzura to itself. It's all physicality. It's all, you know, matter, material. But that matter, material, has no form. It has no conviction. It doesn't have any identity of its own. You pour it into a cup that's circular, it'll turn into a circular shape. You pour it into a cup that's a square, it'll turn into a square shape. By the way, this isn't what he's talking about, but you pour it into a cup that's blue, the water will look blue. You pour it into a cup that's red, the water will look red. It doesn't have any form. It doesn't have any identity. Water is the opposite of identity. It's all chomer, no tzura. All physicality without any form or shape. V'chasher teda zeh, once you realize that, teda lecha, you'll realize now we're back in the bold. Ki mailes Moshe Rabbeinu alav ha-shalom. What was the high level of Moshe Rabbeinu? What defines Moshe Rabbeinu? We've spoken about this so many times already. Malas Hatsura. He was the opposite of water. He was something that had no physicality. He separated from this world. Remember from Parshas Vizos HaBracha that we said that he was Lo Nas Lecho, that he didn't lose his moisture. He didn't wrinkle in old age. And his eyes, Lo Kasa Eina, that his eyes didn't go blind. He didn't lose his vision because he wasn't physical. As he got older, he just became more spiritual and his body was never part of him. It was a separate entity. He was all Tzura, no chomer, the opposite of water. Water is just material with no form. Moshe is all form. Think again of Plato's, you know, ideal triangle. It doesn't, it's an idea of a triangle, which makes it less tangible, but it makes it more real and makes it more objective because you can't change it. You can't change the shape. You can't switch it around. Something which is an ideal form as opposed to matter has conviction, has a tzura, even though it doesn't have chomer, even though it doesn't have physicality. Moshe Rabbeinu was the opposite of water. Anyone who reaches that level of intellect and spirituality will get to that point. Moshe Rabbeinu is the only one who accomplished it. But all of us have the potential to some degree to reach that point. Moshe Rabbeinu hit that peak and separated from Gashmis and became kulo ruchni, kulo sichli, so he was all tzura, no chomer. V'hamayim in the bold, heim hefech. Water is the opposite. K'hamayim ein lem tzura gemura. U'lekach nikraim tamid b'lashon rabim. He points out that you always call mayim in a plural form. Mayim is rabim, right? I mean, the word mayim rabim lo yuchul l'chabas z'hava. Mayim is always referred to in the plural form. Why don't we say I have one water? I have two waters. I have three waters. I remember once Rav Schechter was in yeshiva for Shabbos, and somebody asked him, I forget what the question was, but something about that related technology. And in answering the question, he said, you know, you're allowed to have internet at home. we have an internet in our home. It's like, if you hear what I said, we have an internet in our home. Like, he had no clue that it's more of a parech ba'avir, not like an item. I was like, you might have two internets. I've seen you use it in different rooms. I'm not sure. You might have two of them. But we don't say a water, a piece of water, a grain of water is water in English. And in Hebrew, it's mayim. It's plural. There's no way to define it as one thing. Why? So the Maharal says, because something which has no form, it just spreads and spreads and spreads. There's no way to confine it into one place. You can't make it one entity. You can't say water. There's no water. There's no piece of water in front of you. There's just endless water. If you pour it on the ground, it'll flow everywhere. It'll spread out ceaselessly. So water represents this idea. There's no chomer. There's no, tzura. There's no form. And therefore, it's just a rabim. It's just endless and plural. And there's no achdus. But when you have a tzura, when you have something which has form, you can bring it together. You can coalesce. You can have something which combines and gets, you know, compacted. And then you could have something which is singular and single. Umipneze nikra Moshe. That's why it's called Moshe. Min hamayim mishisihu. Not min hayor. We don't care which river it was. Mipneze nikra Moshe shahayim mashui mimayim. Kilomar shem Moshe misulak min hamayim. Kibavur sheyesh l'Moshe tzur nivdelas hayim mashui v'nivdal min hamayim. Because Moshe was so distinct and so different than water, he was pulled from water. That defines him. That's his ikar. That's his essence. That's who he is. He's something which is nibdal, which is separate and distinct from water, which is so physical and so far removed from having any structure or having any form. Moshe Rabbeinu was the exact opposite, and he was min hamayim mishisiu. That defines who Moshe Rabbeinu was. Beautiful, unbelievable. He says that's why I forgot what they're called, the people who look in power. Astrologers. Astronomers are the scientists, and astrologers are the one who look for horoscopes and things like that. So the astrologers were looking to the stars. They saw Moshe Rabbeinu Moshian Shal Yisrael, whoever's going to be the savior of the Jewish people, he's Asid Lilkos Al Yidei HaMayim. The water is going to end up being his downfall. The water is his arch nemesis. What a water arch nemesis. Moshe Rabbeinu, what does that have to do with anything? No, that's the point. The point is that there are two opposites in the world. There's Moshe Rabbeinu, and there's water. They're opposites. Water, no form, all physicality. Moshe Rabbeinu, no physicality, all form. Those two things are going to be at the war at some points. They tried to drown the babies. They didn't realize, as Maharal, that Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't going to get consumed by the water because he was so different. He floated on top of water. He was able to float in a basket. They didn't realize that if he sins, the water will be his end. And how do we know Moshe Rabbeinu loses his life? How do we know Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't get to the goal? What happens to him? And over what? What's the issue? Over water. May Meriva. So it's true that Moshe Rabbeinu's end did come because of water, but it wasn't the water of the Or, because he didn't sin as a baby. So he was able to float above the water because he was so opposite. He was a magnetic opposite with the water, so he was able to be repelling the water. Once he sinned and he went down a darga, then the water was able to drown him, so to speak. And that was his Asid Lilkos Al Hamayim. So they misunderstood the idea, but the idea in essence was true, that he's opposite of water. Elamai, who's going to win, depends on how pristine he keeps his form, as opposed to the chomer of the water that he was always, you know, constantly fighting against. There are other ideas here in the Maharal. We cut some of them out, put some of them in smaller font, but in order to make a little more progress, let's move on to the source number one, again, the second to last piece on the page, in the Sefer Tiferes Yisrael. The Gemara Menachos tells us that, as an allusion to the concept that the Torah was given to us by Moshe Rabbeinu, so the Gemara gives us two. I think the story in the Gemara is that some guy was trying to get into yeshiva, and they said, tell us a good vart. So he said, two good shtikl Torahs. They're not exactly vartlach that you and I would say or come up with or relate to, but he said something like, Yavo zevi kaval zem mizel lezos, something like that, mizel lezo. So which is supposed to be an allusion to the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu came and took the Torah from Hashem and gave it to the Jewish people. Each word, ze, zos, zo, all relates to different aspects of the Jewish people. So they said, tell us another shtikl Torah. So he said, fine, yavo tovi kaval tov, mi tov letovim. So what's Yavo Tov, Yikabel Tov, Mitov Letovim? So I think he says, Yavo Tov, Tov is Moshe Rabbeinu, Ki Tov. Yikabel Tov, Ki Lekach Tov Nasati Lachem. Mi Tov, HaKadosh Baruch is referred to as Tov in some pasuk. Okay. Litovim, that Kalei Yisrael are referred to as Tov. So, you know, it's a cute allusion, and therefore he was very creative and got into the yeshiva, something like that. So here, why is it Yavo Tov refers to Moshe Rabbeinu? So the Maharal in Tiferes Yisrael, the 12th parak says, L'kach Amar Ki Lohaya Muchan L'Kabel HaTorah Sichlis. He says the word Tov always refers to something which is separate from Gashmias. The only thing that's good in this world, the only thing that lasts in this world, is something which is removed from physicality and has a spiritual nature. The only thing that could possibly accept the Torah is someone who reached a level of Tov, who is, you know, divorced from any physicality. Moshe Rabbeinu was ki tov. Moshe Rabbeinu was all tzura. Moshe Rabbeinu was the opposite of water. He can come and take a Torah. Yavo tov, v'yakabel tov, lekach tov. The Torah is completely divorced from physicality. It relates to our world, but it comes from a different world entirely. It's something which is completely spiritual and not physical whatsoever. Only someone on that level could accept the Torah. Otherwise, it would be rejected. It would be a foreign entity trying to enter our body as physical people. So only a Moshe Rabbeinu who is yavo tov, who is completely distinct from physicality, could accept the Torah. Lekach. Beautiful idea. Bas paklaria hameira. Moshe Rabbeinu, we know, had a different level, a different. He was a sui generis. He was qualitatively different. He was a different sphere of Navi than any other Navi that existed. And the way that's described by the Gemara Nivamas is that every other Navi looked through an aspaklaria she'enameira. They looked through sort of like a fuzzy window. Mashenkin, Moshe Rabbeinu had a very clear window. It's like the type of window the birds fly into in the commercials for Windex, right? The type of window, you don't even know there's a window there. Moshe Rabbeinu looked right through it at a Kaddish Baruch Hu. So it's an aspaklaria. So the Maharal explains, if you have any physicality, as you add Gashmias to your life, the window gets fuzzier. And you stop, it gets a little more opaque. It's harder to see through. The more you divorce yourself from Gashmias and become more Ruchni, more spiritual, the more translucent that window becomes. And Moshe Rabbeinu reached the peak of that, so he could look straight through the window. And a beautiful idea, by the way. Ruth Pincus talked about this in the Shmuz. They printed it Al HaTorah, but it's also another Sarim. So it's based on Diukim and the Psukim. We'll leave it for now. But basically what he explains is that every Navi works this way. They're looking through an aspaklaria. Okay, so as a window gets clearer and clearer, you could see more things through it, correct? What happens as it gets more opaque? You can't see through it. And what else happens? You start to see yourself. It starts to become a mirror. So Rav Pincus explains that when Korach, for example, looked in Nevuah, and he saw that he really deserved to be the Kohen Gadol, and it shouldn't be... So what do you mean? He used Nevuah, and he came to that wrong... Nevuah can't come to the wrong conclusion. How could it be? We don't see that with a Navi Sheker. He saw a Nevuah, that he was supposed to be the leader of Klal Yisrael. How did he see that with Nevuah? How did Hashem give him a gift of Ruach HaKodesh that misled him? The answer is, everyone's looking through the same glass pane. But Korach was so self-centered. You look at the Pesukim, you'll see how often, you know, he's talking about himself and how often the Pesukim are referring to himself. He was so self-obsessed, so self-absorbed, that when he looked through his window, all he saw was himself. It was so opaque. He was so tied to himself that he saw himself in the royal garments. A Navi who is more divorced from that reality of himself and more involved in Ruchni, is more involved in Ribono Shel'olam and his people, would have seen straight through and seen the true vision. He wasn't misled. He misled himself. He was so obsessed with himself that that's what he saw in the mirror. But again, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have any fuzziness. He didn't have any opaque nature to that window pane, and he could look right through Aspaklaria Hameira. My good friend, Rav Meir Simcha Stromer, he lives in Chicago, the bottom source on page number one, he pointed this out to me in the Chidush HaGados, in Maseches Nida, that the Maharal says that the conception of a child, the growth of the fetus in the womb, is comparable to a walnut that's floating on the water. Kind of a weird example the Gemara gives. So the Maharal explains, no, that's the truth. A person is someone who's supposed to be spiritual. And in that sense, we're always supposed to float above the water. We're supposed to be like an item which floats above the water, like Moshe Rabbeinu was able to float on the water and not be drowned by the water itself. And a person leaves the womb and comes into this world when the water breaks and the person rushes out. That's the same thing. Menamayim mishisihu. All of us, to a certain degree, are supposed to have this character trait of being nivdal, of not being obsessed with Gashmius, the same way Moshe Rabbeinu was drawn from the water. We're all drawn from water, and we're all separated from the water, and therefore we're all polar opposites to some degree to the water. Moshe Rabbeinu reached the peak of our potential in that way, but every human being has some potential to try to separate themselves more and more and live out the message of being given birth to through the water breaking, through leaving the water that's inside of the womb. You flip to page number two. So there's a Maimer from Rav Huttner. This idea that I'm about to present to you, I learned from, I've told you about in the past, Rabbi Avram Alter, who lives in Riverdale, who's, if anything, you know, my mentor in Maharal and Pachar Yitzchak. So he taught us the following idea in a chabur that we had. The Rav Huttner writes in one of his pieces, he points out the connection between Kriyas Yamsuf and Yosef HaTzadik in the following sense. He says, first of all, that when Moshe Rabbeinu tries to daven that the water should split or whatever, that the Jewish people should be saved, so the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds in the Torah, Matitzak Eli, what are you crying out to me? And the Chazal tell us, what's that about? Aren't we supposed to daven? No, you daven for things that need to be changed. Kriyas Yamsuf, the splitting of the Yamsuf, is something that was a t'nai in Maisa Bereshis. It was a condition in the creation of the world, much like the Jewish people. Bereshis Bar Elokim, Bishvil Reshis, the Jewish people are a t'nai, are a condition in the creation of the world. You don't daven for what's supposed to happen. That's part of what's going to happen. You don't need a daven for it. It's not something you can change or move or sway with tefillah whatsoever. And in that case, the Torah tells us Vayanas that the pasuk tells us that Vayanas that the water saw and it ran. We know Chazal tells us, what did it see? Atzmos shel Yosef, right? It saw the Aaron of Yosef being carried by Moshe Rabbeinu, and the water just split. The water just got out of there. It wasn't interested in being part of this. The Jewish people walked through. So Avram Alter S, so what's the whole idea of Kriyas Yamsuf in the first place? Why did it have to be water that was split? Why couldn't we walk through some big canyon and Hashem created a bridge? Why couldn't we walk through a desert? On both sides it was hot and dry, and in the middle there was a nice stream, and we were like floating down a lazy river to get out of Mitzvah. Why did it have to be that we are Kriyas Yamsuf? What's the significance of Kriyas Yamsuf? And what's the significance of Yosef Atzadik? And why is this something from Bereshit that doesn't get changed and has to do with Klal Yisrael? Like, what's all the connections over here? So he pointed to, he's a brilliant, you know, creative mind, and also just like very well versed in all of the Sefarim of the Maharal. So if you look in the second source that appears right before number two, the Maharal and the Chiddush HaGadlus in Maseches Sota, he talks about how the Gemara says that Misham Zachal Yisrael Yisrael, that Yosef HaTzadik was able to become a Manig Yisrael, a leader of the Klal Yisrael, of the Jewish people, because he passed the test of Eishes Potiphar. Ki ata Yosef nivdal min aguf. At that point, when he decided to run away, Vayanas Hachutza, he ran away from Eishes Potiphar, and he didn't give in to his Yetzer Hara. Kasher Kov Eishes Yitzro Shel Znus. He suppressed that Yetzer Hara. Ulefikach Misham Zacha Lios Ro Manig. That's why he became a leader of the Jewish people. Listen here. Lefisha nivdal manhig esachomri gamkein umosha alav. Someone who is able to separate themselves from something physical now has full self-control. Now is able to be a Moshe, is able to be a leader, a ruler, because they've exhibited that complete self-control, that restraint, the ability to totally remove themselves from a physical situation and live a life of ruchnius. Yosef HaTzadik, much like Moshe Rabbeinu, was able to step out of the water, minamayim mishisu. The water was the gashmius, the ability to be with Eishes Potiphar, no one would have known. But he ran away, vayanas achutza, he ran away, and in that sense, he was minamayim mishisu. He got away from that physicality and became a totally spiritual being. He conquered his Yetzer Hara, he ruled over his Yitzhara, so he could be a leader, he could be a ruler, he could be a Manig Yisrael, the Roe Yisrael. That's Yosef HaTzadik. Said Rav Ram Alter, it's absolutely beautiful. The Yamsuf is standing there and it's saying, why would I split? Comes Moshe Rabbeinu and says, the Jewish people, we're not going to have time to get to it, I guess, but the Jewish people, we'll see in source number two another time or on your own, the Jewish people are supposed to be completely spiritual, not physical. So says Moshe Rabbeinu, well, you're completely physical water, you're water like we spoke of before, and the Jewish people are here, so you should split so that they can walk through. You shouldn't exist in the presence of the Jewish people. And the water says, what are you talking about? The Jewish people, they've been in Mitzrayim for however many years, down the 49th level of Tumah, halalu ovdei avodah zarah, halalu ovdei avodah zarah, they haven't been doing the bris milah. I mean, there's plenty of things to pick on the Jewish people. They're not the most ruchni, not the most spiritual people. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, don't worry about it. I'm Moshe Rabbeinu, min hamayim mishisihu. And if that's not enough, what am I holding? Atzmos Yosef. Yosef, who was vayanas hachutza. Yosef, who was able to also separate himself from that water, from that physicality. I'm holding him in my hands, and I'm showing you, this is the Jewish people. We represent the Jewish people. Split for the Jewish people. And the water says, vayanas. The water says, you're right. The same way that Yosef HaTzadik is vayanas hachutza. He separated himself from the water says, we're going to separate too, because we can't withstand the pressure of the Jewish people represented by Moshe and Yosef, the two people who were nivdal min achomru, who became ruchni people, who ruled over their taivus and conquered the Yetzer Hara, the Jewish people are represented by those people, then the water says we don't stand a chance and it splits. Says Rav Hutner, that's a t'nai in Maisa Bereshis. It's a t'nai that the Klal Yisrael have that power. It's not a tefillah. It's not a reaction to Moshe Rabbeinu saying, please split. It's looking at this, the Metzius. The reality is that the world was created with these two opposing forces. There's Ruchnius and there's Gashmius. The two can't really come together. And as long as Moshe Rabbeinu makes the right case, that water will split. As long as the Moshe Rabbeinu, as long as the Yosef HaTzadik, and as long as the Jewish people following them and trying to live that type of living, as long as we're all trying to live as a minimayim mishisihu, then the water will split. There's nothing to daven about. That's a t'nai. That's a condition in my separation, that these are two parallel opposites. They can't possibly come together. The water will by nature split as long as the Jewish people are acting with their nature. If you look in source number two, we're not going to talk about it, but I'll just set you up for it. In source number two, the pasuk tells us about how Moshe Rabbeinu realizes that Dasan and Aviram had witnessed his act from earlier, and he realizes he's fearful. Vayomar, achein noda hadavar. He says, uh-oh, it's well known. So the obvious interpretation is that he realized the word is out. People are going to find out about it. It's going to be in the New York Post tomorrow with some clever punny title. And I'm sold. I'm done. I got to run away. But and therefore, that's what he was fearful about. Rashi says, the Medrash means that achein noda hadavar. Moshe Rabbeinu said, I used to not understand why the Jewish people were in Galus. Now I get it. Now I get why they're gullus. People are telling secrets. People are, slandering. People are gossiping about what I've done. I get why the Jewish people are in gullus. What does gossip have to do with Gullus? What does revealing secrets have to do with the Jewish people being on a low level? I mean, why is this the representative of the fact that they're in Gullus? So the Maharal, you'll look on your own, in the Gur Aryeh, in the Gur Hashem, he expands on the idea that the Klal Yisrael are completely spiritual, not physical, as we spoke about before. And spirituality is always kept sanua, it's always kept private. The Jewish people live a private life. They live a quiet life. The second you see a Jewish people that are being megalosod, they're telling secrets, they're gossiping in public, they're writing newspaper articles about other people, they're threatening to tell the whole world about what you've done, you see the Jewish people have left their nature, they left their teva, they've become more public people, they have less kedusha, less spirituality, less pnimius, and they've gone from tzura to chomer, so at that point a gullus can take hold. A gullus can take hold of it. Someone who's totally Moshe Rabbeinu, a tzura, he has conviction, he has his own form, you can't put him into a box, you can't put him into gullus, you can't put him into jail. He's an idea, he's not a thing. But the second we make ourselves more megushimdik, we lower ourselves to the level of telling secrets, of being more public, of flaunting our wealth, of doing things that people's attention is caught through, so then all of a sudden we're attached to this world. If we're attached to this world, that means we're like water. We can be contained. We can be wrapped up in a bottle. We can be put into something and be formed by that something that encloses us. And that's why the Jewish people deserved and had the ability to be in Gullus, because he saw that they were lower to that level. And the Maharal ends with some musar to his generation, which is certainly applicable to our generation as well, that we should be careful. We should be careful to keep our secrets. We shouldn't be talking Lashon Hara, we shouldn't be revealing things, but also we should live private lives. We should live quiet lives, lives of tznius and lives of kedusha. And with that, we'll maintain our tzura, nachas shalom, step down to the chomer, and we can live lives of Yosef HaTzadik and Moshe Rabbeinu min amayim mishisiu. Everyone should have a wonderful Shabbos.